And this is Illinois Public Media. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason in with the opening market report. Some numbers in just a bit from the CME Group in Chicago on the news line this morning. Just one quick item from the news. That's that the price of anhydrous has dropped about $100 a ton over the last month. If you're looking to book fertilizer prices, you might watch what's been happening there. We'll try to stay up to speed on those anhydrous prices. We'll talk actually with Emerson Nafziger a bit later this morning in Mumford Hall when I make my way back to the College of Aces, and we'll bring some of that to you and discuss a bit how corn catches up during the season, and then in terms of how late it is, and then maybe slows back down. So we'll see how Emerson thinks about growing degree days a bit later, and we'll talk about that during the closing market report. Some other items of import. Crop production report is due out on Monday. Be sure that you tune in to us. We'll try to bring you all the latest, and you can always get that off our website at willag.org. It's released at 11 a.m. It is the first serious look at crop production. You'll have some hard numbers. On Tuesday, I'll guest on Focus, and I'll be the guest this time around as opposed to the guest host. So if you want to tune in at 10 o'clock, that's great. Wednesday evening at First Trust and Bank Savings and Bank in Watsika, we'll have an Ag Outlook panel. Steve Fried will be on that panel, along with Chuck Shelby and Jackie Vakes. It is open. That's usually a bank appreciation evening. They do have a meal, so you need to give them a call there in Watsika at First Trust Savings and Trust Bank. And you can call and ask for Jordan Herleman, or you can just go online and look in our calendar at willag.org. And then Thursday of next week is Agronomy Day right here on campus. So be sure that you schedule some time to come. We kick off at 7 a.m. in the morning. I'll be there all morning long sending the rack wagons out to the field. If you've not been there, 4 tours. They all take about an hour. And your chance to hear what the extension and research specialists at the University of Illinois have been up to all year and the kinds of things they've been doing in the research fields. The South Farms is just to the south and east of the Assembly Hall, or the State Farm Center, as it's now called, right there on St. Mary's Road. Now, in just a couple of moments, Drew Lerner will be here. He'll have a look at the weather forecast for us.
Support for this agricultural weather report comes from Busey. Busey believes that healthy businesses strengthen our local economy. They have a commercial banking team with 20-plus years of experience providing lending solutions to meet unique business needs. Busey, your dream, our promise.
Most of the Midwest weather has not changed much from yesterday's forecast. We're still expecting to see 2 weeks' worth of favorable rainfall and eventually seasonable temperatures. The initial change in the forecast data today versus that of yesterday is in regard to Iowa. For tomorrow and Friday, during those 2 days, about 65% of Iowa will have a potential to receive rain that was not advertised previously. And the amounts could run a couple tenths of an inch, upwards to 3/4 of an inch, with maybe some 1.25-inch amounts in the southwest, or even across the south in general near the Missouri border. The storm system that could impact those areas tomorrow has potential to be even stronger in a few areas. We'll watch the situation real closely. For right now, I think a conservative approach on the rain would certainly be warranted. Last night, there were some showers that occurred in the interior southwest and in the interior southeast parts of Iowa. Local counties reported upwards to an inch of rain, but most of the precipitation was a lot lighter than that. In general, with the forecast being what it is for the next 2 to 3 days, and that which has occurred over the past couple of days, is really quite favorable for continuing the gradual improvement in Iowa and other western Corn Belt crop areas. Eventually, we're going to see more favorable soil moisture throughout those regions, and the bottom line is that the losses we've encountered from poor rainfall during reproduction this year are pretty much over, and we will still have those losses, but we're not going to see any new losses come around. And the forecast across the Midwest is such right now that everybody's going to see timely rainfall, and certainly the temperatures are going to be non-threatening. Our temperatures are going to be cooler than usual over the next few days, and that's probably of interest only because our degree day accumulations are going to be way off. But with that said, I don't believe we're going to be looking at any kind of a threatening cold spell anytime real soon. I still stand by my previous comments about the frost freeze potential this year, which is basically that we'll be a little later than usual for the first freezes in the northwestern part of the Corn Belt, but the lower eastern Midwest may see earlier than usual frost and freezes later in September or early October. The outlook for the temperatures across the region after the end of this week will be trending back towards more normal readings over the weekend and early next week. Temperatures across the area will get back into the 80s in general, with a few 70s in the north and perhaps near 90-degree temperatures in a few southwestern locations. That will contrast greatly from temperatures over these next few days that will run mostly in the 60s and 70s across the north and in the 70s and a lower 80s in the south. Low temperatures over the next few nights will probably fall back into 40 and 50 degree readings in the north and mostly 50s and lower 60s in the lower parts of the eastern Midwest. And it looks like if anybody in the country is going to see a persistence of hot, dry weather, it's still going to be Texas and parts of Oklahoma. Those areas have seen temperatures in the well into the 90s and over 100 degrees the past few days. Yesterday, widespread 100 to 107 degree readings occurred, and that has brought back a serious stress for cotton, corn, and sorghum produced in Texas after the tremendously beneficial rains of mid-July stimulated new crop development. Since then, the situation has deteriorated, and crops are now more stressed than perhaps they were earlier on before that rain occurred. The outlook is offering very little relief, but some showers will be possible in the southern plains of this coming weekend, and perhaps slightly cooler temperatures as well. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Our thanks go to Drew Lerner for his daily updates of the weather forecast across the planet for the growing regions. Here's the way the numbers are trading in Chicago after the hard open at the open outcry pits this morning. September corn is up 3.5 cents at 475 3/4. December at 464 1/4 is a nickel higher. August beans at 1334, up 9 3/4. November at 1172 1/2, up 5 1/4. The bean meal 460 higher. Bean oil down 3 cents. Soft red winter wheat at 648 3/4, 1 3/4 lower. The hard red down 2 1/2 at 699 1/2. Live cattle futures at 121.65 or 72 1/2 cents higher. The feeder cattle at 154.17 1/2 are down 7 1/2 cents, and lean hogs at 101.7 1/2 are 52 1/2 cents higher. But the October contract there is down 2 1/2, and it's at $86.42 1/2. On the phone line is Bill Gentry. He's at Risk Management Commodities in Lafayette, Indiana. Good morning to you, Bill. Thanks for being with us today. What do you expect in the marketplace?
I think realistically we're looking at a little bit of short covering in the corn. Position squaring ahead of next week's USDA supply demand numbers seems to be in order. And I think watching the weather, I think, is going to be a key, especially for the soybeans. And so as far as that's concerned, just position squaring and looking for the USDA numbers.
Yeah, the USDA numbers. Have you guys thought about what those numbers should be and what USDA actually might come out with?
Yeah, I think realistically what we've been kind of dialing in is the expectation that maybe we could see an increase in corn yield. Acreage numbers in corn is probably not going to be unchanged. Conceivably, they may see an adjustment in September and more than likely in October. The bean numbers, as far as acres are concerned, we think realistically, well, I guess the trade expectation is maybe a reduction of 500,000 acres, but I think that's up in the air. We'll just watch and see how the resurvey came about. As far as yield expectations in beans, you know, we're now into August. We've got a fairly benign weather forecast. I think realistically the crop is progressing very slowly, but realistically it's still a long way from being completed. Our in-house estimate is that yield's probably a couple bushels less than what the USDA estimate is, but it's really too soon to tell. We need to get a couple more weeks under our belt before we can make a hard determination of that.
The rainfall at the end of August, early September usually can make a bean crop now.
Exactly. And this crop's probably going to be growing for as long as we don't get an early frost, which we really don't think. This crop really may need a couple weeks of September weather, maybe even more, to really finish out.
Okay. And then your prospects for corn and soybeans, are you friendly, bearish, neutral at this point?
I'm trying to be more neutral on the corn, maybe a little bit price-friendly on the beans. I think this August weather is going to be real important, especially for the beans. If we happen to get some cooler weather in the beans, I think that the progression could slow down significantly and reduce yield prospects. If we get anything below a 42.5, I think the carryover prospects for next year's crop tighten significantly, and the market's going to be very sensitive to that.
Okay, next week on Wednesday evening, Chuck Shelby from your office will be with me at First Trust and Savings Bank in Watseka. They put a nice tent up there and serve a meal. I'm glad to have him on board. People can RSVP if they want to go. First Trust said that we can advertise it and, well, advertise it, talk about it at least. And if people want to go, they do need to RSVP to them. So call First Trust and Savings and Bank there in Watseka. And then you guys are putting on some programs too, right?
Yes. In fact, we were up in northern Illinois yesterday. We were up in DeKalb and Princeton. We've got our local Lafayette meeting next week. Feel free to give us a call, and we're more than welcome to attend.
Hey, thanks so much.
Thank you, Todd.
Bill Gentry is with Risk Management Commodities. He's in Lafayette, Indiana. Joins us here on the opening market report for this Wednesday morning. You are listening to WILL AM 580, WILL FM 90.9. It's HD3. Urbana, it's the top of the hour, 9 o'clock Central Time. Here's what the weather forecast looks like for the Urbana-Champaign area. A 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy, a high near 85. Tonight, a 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy, and a low of 65. And then tomorrow, a 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy, and 79 degrees. On Thursday evening, a 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy, and 65. Friday, a 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms. Rain will continue, mostly cloudy, and a high near 80 degrees. Friday night, mostly cloudy, and 63. Saturday, sunny skies and 80, and Saturday night, partly cloudy and 60. This is Illinois Public Media. It does come to you from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois.